Indie Media is DIY news. It is about people reporting their own news directly, without the need for reporters, bypassing the corporate media. There are now almost 100 Indie Media websites or IMCs worldwide, providing grassroots reports of struggles, campaigns, and protests. The project started 3 years ago, covering the massive Seattle protests that shut down the World Trade Organization summit. Uncensored and unsponsored, Indie Media sites can be updated literally anytime, anywhere, and by anyone. The open-to-all nature of these sites means that you can publish your own reports about your own issues and at the same time connect to a global network of grassroots news. What you are about to hear are some highlights from those global websites and the UK's very own Indie Media site. For more information, or to get the news direct from the streets, check out www.indiemedia.org.uk.
Okay, welcome to the Indie Media Radio London show. We just want to say hello to all the party people. The summer party season is in full swing and lots of fantastic events went ahead without any hassles from our friends of the blue uniforms and Lumo jackets. And also, for those who listen regularly, you will know that we read out endless web addresses. So I thought I would just remind you guys to get a pen or even a pencil to take down all the URLs that frequent our stories. And here is the first URL of the show, with many more to follow, no doubt. For any comments regarding our show, please email us at newswire@ziplip.com. And now we're just going to go straight to a track. We always sometimes play Bella Ciao by Chumbawamba at the start of our intro, but today we're going to play the original Italian version.
Bella ciao, 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 stamattina mi sono alzato e ho trovato l'invaso, tu partigiano, portami via, tu bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, 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 partigiano, portami via, che mi sento di morire, e se muoio da partigiano, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao. Se muoio da partigiano, tu mi devi seppellire lassù in montagna. Oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Seppellire lassù in montagna, sotto l'ombra di un bel fior, delle genti che passeranno. Oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Delle genti che passeranno, diranno che bel fior, e questo è il fiore del partigiano, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, 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 questo è il fiore del partigiano,
la mattina appena alzata, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao alla mattina. Alzata in risaia mi tocca andare, il capo in piedi col suo bastone, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, 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 il capo in piedi col suo bastone, e noi curve a lavorare. Ma verrà un giorno che tutte quante, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, 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 ma verrà un giorno quante lavoreremo in libertà, lavoreremo in libertà.
Ciao belli. Good afternoon. We are less than a week away from the Sea Island G8 summit, and the repression in the United States escalates, this week in the state of Georgia. A state of emergency has been declared by Georgia governor in 6 coastal counties, and police have been given the go-ahead to stop all demonstrations. Police in Brunswick, Georgia, have been given the authorization to stop protests during the upcoming G8 summit in nearby Sea Island. The city's mayor has signed a new law which, under a state of emergency called by the governor, gives law enforcement the green light to put a halt to any protest or gathering without having to cite a specific motive. The city of Brunswick is only 10 miles away from the privately owned island where the 8 leaders will be meeting during the days of the 8th, 9th and 10th of June. Brunswick, as well as the city of Savannah, which is housing most of the press, had long been known to be the designated area for the main protest activities. The negotiations between protest organizers, local residents, and city, state, and federal authorities began as far back as last year, and yet, surprisingly, produced very few permits for gatherings and protests. The status and validity of such previously issued permits is, given the current conditions, now uncertain. Those people who are determined to stand up for their civil rights and their right to protest and gather will be met by the highest levels of security. This is due in part to recently emerged and somewhat vague intelligence regarding the alleged threat of an imminent terrorist attack on US soil this summer. The Georgia National Guard, FBI, CIA, Homeland Security, as well as other law enforcement special units are expected to be deployed in large numbers throughout 6 counties in the coastal area. Surface-to-air missile batteries, armored vehicles, fighter jets, Coast Guard vessels and surveillance helicopters will also be utilized to protect the area surrounding the summit from potential attacks of various natures. Once again, it seems that the need for anti-terrorism security is being mixed up with the policing operation of protests, while civil liberties and the right to protest are suffering serious setbacks. If you'd like to find out more information about this, go to atlanta.indymedia.org.
And now a call for a global day of action on Friday, the 4th of June, 2004. This comes from Mexico. This comes from Guadalajara. A call for all organisations of civil, national and international society to join Mexicans in a global day of action this Friday, the 4th of June, to demand the release of activists arrested during the recent protests in Guadalajara. The call is for everyone concerned about the repression on the manifestations to organise actions in front of the offices of the PGR, which is the offices for each state of the Mexican Republic, and at the offices of the Partido Acción Nacional PAN, the government of Guadalajara, or outside the Mexican consulates internationally. The third summit of heads of states and governments from Latin America, the Caribbean and European Union has come to an end last night in a tense environment, with a soft and indirect condemnation to the US military torture in Iraq. Commercial agreements without popular support, violence against demonstrators at the end of the general demonstration, and around 100 detainees disappeared, as well as 30 injured. According to the latest reports, during the early hours of the morning, some demonstrators were freed, although around 70 people were still detained. In a press conference held at noon, Guadalajara, rumours of torture and ill treatment on the detainees was confirmed. It has been described that people were beaten, insulted while being taken away. We have some audio now from IMC Radio Houston of people that are on that demonstration.
Welcome to the Houston Independent Radio Show. Today we have with us some folks from the Guadalajara Independent Media Center. Hi there, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm okay.
So can you tell us a little bit about what happened just this weekend in Guadalajara?
Yeah, this weekend in Guadalajara was the third ministerial for the European Union, like Latin America and Caribbean, in which like leaders from those three continents got together to decide the future of, well, of Latin America. And, like, what was talked about was international security and free trade and pretty much what's gonna happen with the rest of our lives. And there was also an alternative forum of organizations from across Latin America and Europe, and manifestations in the street of all kinds of different people, from trade unions to farmers to indigenous people to globalization, like anti-globalization activists of all sorts. And what pretty much happened was like a repeat of the constant repression that we see at manifestations like this. The day before the ministerial started on the 28th and 29th, and on the 27th, a march was realized by like the majority of which were anarcho-punks, which is a passive march, which was going to go from the Parque Juárez down to the center of town, and about like four blocks along the way, like they became surrounded by riot cops and began to run back to their encampment, at which they were then surrounded and weren't allowed to leave, except that they wanted to stay there. So pretty much what happened was, like, it was illegal for them to march in the street. And all night, like, people negotiated for the police to leave, which finally they did after about 4 hours. And the next day, a march was realized by a coalition, Otro Mayo, which was in charge of the alternative forum. And the march like went passively until like it got near where the fence was, where the ministerial was going to be, which like a group of about 40 people attacked the fence and began to tear it down, and along with where the cops were, and the cops that's when the repression began on that day, and the cops began to beat people and throw tear gas and use water cannons, in which that was when the majority of those who are now in jail, who are still in jail, that's where they were arrested, when the police, like, they begin, like, to sweep the streets.
Okay, how many people were at that protest, and how many people ended up getting arrested?
At that protest, I'd say there's about anywhere between, like, 4,000 and 6,000 people, and about 90 of them got arrested, 44 of which names have been released, 11 of which were foreigners and have been translated to Mexico City and are being deported. The ones whose 44 names were released, the majority are Mexicans, and they're going to be sent to different jails. And their charges have not been set yet, and lawyers haven't been able to speak to them, and they haven't been given any food or water in 36 hours, and there's still like about over 30 detainees whose names have not been released, and who we don't know where they are, so they're pretty much disappeared. And there's been stories of like 10 people have been released so far, and who have testified that what they seen in jail was like the police would take a few of them to a different room, and they would hear like screaming and them being thrown against the wall, and when they would come out, they would be like pulling their boxes up and they wouldn't be able to walk straight, and they were unable to sit down. So there's like a lot of human rights violations going on in the jail, and they're not allowed to, lawyers aren't allowed to speak to them, and no one has seen them.
Okay.
And 30 over 30 of them like are disappeared.
Yeah, I understand that at the summit they passed some kind of resolution condemning abuses of Iraqi detainees. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So
it obviously doesn't mean anything.
Okay. So what kind of support have you all been getting? Have these protesters been getting from civil society and from activist groups both in Mexico and internationally?
We've been getting a lot of support, like, both from here, like, a lot of the people have left, and have been sitting in a government office in Mexico, like demanding the protesters' release, and there's been a lot of support from like from lawyers here in Guadalajara, but the sorry,
it's all right.
The Human Rights Commission from the state of Jalisco has in no way shown any support for those detained, like at any moment.
Is that a government agency?
Yeah, and the supposedly like when a human rights when someone interviews like from Human Rights interviews a prisoner, there isn't supposed to be a policeman there, but here there is.
Mm. Okay. Of the folks that were disappeared, are any of them like organizers? Are they specific? Are they different from? Are those different from the other folks that have been arrested?
That information isn't known because we don't know like mm-hmm. who they are or where they are. Okay. They're just disappeared.
All right. What can?
But a lot of the other ones have like weren't they? There was like pretty much a street sweep, and everyone who was on the street was picked up. So some of the people weren't part of the protest. They just happened to be on the street.
Okay. What can folks here in Texas and in the United States do to support your all's efforts down there?
Talk to your Mexican consulate and demand the release of the prisoners.
Okay.
And also, like, a lot of money is going to be needed for the bail, for the prisoners' bail here.
All right.
The lawyers. But, like, it's really important that people go to the Mexican consulate and like, demand, like, in one way or another, like, how do they feel more comfortable writing a letter or calling or actually going there physically and demanding the release of the prisoners?
All right. So is this the first time the Guadalajara Indie Media Center has done anything? Or is this a new project, or have you guys been around for a while?
Yeah, it's a new project. It's pretty much got together for, like, just to do media for media coverage of the manifestations that have happened here.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so the call out there is for the 4th of June, and people in Mexico are hoping that anyone who would like to show solidarity go along to the Mexican consulate and make their opinions heard. Now we're going to have a track by Tones on Tail called Lions.
Easy way out.
This Friday, June the 4th, esteemed President of the Unified Stations of Amalricki, George W. Bush, will be visiting Rome, which is in Italy. Networks, unions, and campaign groups are mobilizing against his presence, against the global war, and mobilizing for peace. Large demonstrations are expected, but as usual, Italian Prime Minister and media mogul Silvio Berlusconi has been laying the groundwork for repression. In recent days, announcements have been made by Italian authorities warning of extreme danger, disruption, and violence at the protests. In what they say could be a series of demonstrations on the level of the Genoa anti-G8 protests in 2001. Green Party politician Paolo Cento has issued a news release stating that the government is ready to stir up violence in order to discredit once again the massive peace movement. In the light of the violence and tortures committed towards hundreds of peaceful protesters in Genoa back in 2001 and to affect the forthcoming European elections, Cento called for all the people joining the demonstrations to bring cameras and video cameras in order to document and report any violence committed by the police forces. W is also expected in Ireland on the 25th and 26th of June for an EU and US summit, which will take place in the County Clare. A large majority of the population do not want Bush there at all. He happens to be arriving at Shannon Airport, a place that symbolises Irish government complicity in the invasion and occupation of Iraq, being as how it was the place where American planes stopped and refuelled on their way out to the Gulf. A huge variety of protests are expected there. For more and to see ongoing coverage, go to italy.indymedia.org and the Irish Indie Media branch, which is at indiemedia.ie.
And June the 26th will see the beginning of the preliminary hearings for the 29 policemen and officers who faced charges related to the brutal nighttime raid on the Diaz school in Italy during the anti-G8 demonstrations there in 2001, where scores of people were beaten and many left unconscious and hospitalised, before later being tortured in Bolzaneto detention centre. The members of the various police force have been charged with brutality, defamation and perjury. Other police officers are facing various charges relating to the simultaneous raid carried out at Pascoli School, where the Genoa Social Forum and Indie Media had their headquarters. The trials are going ahead after all of the appeals by the various police officers, including the defence of "we were just following orders," were rejected by the prosecutors. Up to 50 victims of the brutal raid are expected to attend the hearings in Genoa, including some from the UK. The trials of another 43 police who stand accused of various levels of assault and torture at Bolzaneto detention camp are expected to follow. Staying with the theme of repression at G8 protests, just days after the Genoa case begins, another court case will start on June the 28th in Switzerland, the court case against four people from the Auburn Bridge action at the G8 summit in Evian last year will begin. UK climber and activist Martin Shaw was cut from the climbing rope as he was dangling was cut from the climbing rope he was dangling from by police, falling over 20 metres onto a riverbed and sustaining very serious injuries. It was a miracle he was not killed outright. While the policeman who cut the ropes remains on duty, ironically, the four protesters, including Martin and the other climber, have all been charged with blocking the traffic and, get this, endangering human life. In response to this, a European anti-repression gathering will take place on the 26th and 27th of June to promote wider awareness as to the many different cases of repression that have happened recently and to discuss proposals and strategies for creating a stronger and more effective anti-repression network in Europe, with particular emphasis on raising awareness of and dealing with repression-related post-traumatic stress disorders. For more information on this, go to www.auburnbridge.net.
little bit of Reggie music there for the sunshine. Jimmy Cliff with Suffering in the Land. Now, on the 12th to the 13th of July, the organisation Liberty will be in the High Court with a judicial review appeal of the police use of anti-terror searches at the anti-arms fair Dicey protests. They and other campaign groups say the police misuse the anti-terror laws to target protesters. Liberty's first round of legal battles on this issue was lost because they had only 25 Section 44 anti-terror search receipts from activists searched in London. In order to win the appeal, they will need more. As a result, Liberty are trying to contact peace protesters searched in London by police during or before the week of September the 6th to the 12th, 2003, the week of the Dicey protests. So get in touch with Liberty if you or anyone you know have been connected with the police in that way. We know of many cases of peaceful anti-war protesters being stopped and searched under the anti-terror laws in London, and in some cases, people were not provided with a receipt as required under law. Liberty say that if people know when and where they were searched but didn't receive a search receipt, they can get one by contacting the police. Now, for more details and to get in touch with Liberty, get your pens ready, is another web address. www.liberty-human-rights.org.uk.
Things neat and tidy, while your next door neighbour's idea of paradise is a bit more on the wild side. Their weed seeds drift across the fence and plant themselves in your soil and start to germinate. You lose the plot and threaten to call the council to get them to issue an anti-social gardening behaviour order. But before you know it, the neighbours take you to court for stealing their seed. Ridiculous? Well, that's just what happened in Canada. Last Friday, the Canadian Supreme Court made a final ruling on a 7-year legal battle between the world's biggest and, as many would say, baddest biotech firm, Monsanto, and Percy Schmeiser, a Canadian farmer. The court ruled that Percy had infringed Monsanto's patent rights by growing genetically modified Roundup-ready canola oilseed rape on his land. Forget the fact that Percy didn't plant any of Monsanto's seeds, that it was Percy's seeds that got contaminated by GM canola, and that he didn't even know that his crop was contaminated. Forget all that. Percy was apparently infringing Monsanto's intellectual property rights. This strange twist of the law, which persecutes people for having their own property polluted, goes back to a Canadian federal law passed in 1991, which ruled that patents have precedence over and above a farmer's rights. The ruling means that if a farmer has their crops contaminated with GM seeds, then they would be potentially liable to pay Monsanto for benefiting from their technology. Terry Boehm, vice president of the Canadian National Farmers Union, said it moves us further along the path where corporations will control seed and farmers will lose the right to save seed. It wasn't all good news for Monsanto. The Supreme Court overturned an earlier court ruling that said Percy should pay the profits of his 1998 crop, about $20,000 Canadian, because Percy didn't knowingly grow GM canola. Also, he doesn't have to pay 1 cent of the court costs to Monsanto, as he did not profit from using Monsanto's technology. Percy believes he won the moral victory and that that Monsanto will have a hard time in pursuing patent infringement against other farmers. They are now going to have to prove that a farmer profited from having RR granola in their field. The court noted that my profits were the same whether I had conventional canola or RR canola, so I find it hard to see how Monsanto can say in any future case that the farmer made more money because of their product. This decision may have removed the teeth from their patent. I also believe that Monsanto will face huge liability issues down the road. The court determined that they have ownership to plant and that I infringed by having it in my field. With ownership comes responsibility, and I assume more lawsuits will be filed against them for the contamination of farmers' fields. But Monsanto is a splice and dice bully who like to reap and sow their wild oats against farmers, and they may just decide to take on any that speak out against them. Percy still has to pay his own legal fees and only managed to carry on fighting thanks to supporters' donations and remortgaging his home. Many farmers simply haven't got the time or money to fight a court case. Percy has also lost a lifetime of work. For the past 50 years, he'd been saving seeds from his best crops, something that farmers have been doing for millennia to produce a diverse range of high-yield crops suitable to local conditions. Now his work has been contaminated with GM, and if you have to buy some new seed, there is a high chance that you'll buy seed from Monsanto, who, after years of aggressively buying up seed companies, are now the world's second biggest seed company. Monsanto are now turning its attention to weaker opponents, taking out newspaper ads in Mexico, warning peasants that if they are found using GM seed illegally, they risk fines and even prison. Silvia Ribeiro of ETC Mexico said this will come as shocking news to indigenous farmers in Mexico, whose maize fields have been contaminated with DNA from genetically modified plants, and to farmers everywhere who are fighting to prevent genetically modified organisms from trespassing in their fields. To read Percy's full statement, please check out www.percyschmeiser.com, and Schmeiser is spelt S-C-H-M-E-I-S-E-R. And also, for background and wider coverage on this issue, see biotech.indymedia.org. Seedy Sundays have taken the old idea of gardeners swapping seeds, an idea that has spread through Canada and the US and is slowly gaining ground in the UK. And for their website, please check out www.seedysunday.org. And now we have a track by The Stabilizers, which is called Urban Regeneration.
A story concerning ale and money. A battle which has been raging for nearly a decade has seen hundreds of pub landlords going on rent strike and many going bankrupt and homeless as they took on the big breweries over the high prices they charged to supply drinks. However, A landmark ruling in the High Court recently said that one landlord was forced to pay too much for the beer he purchased for his pub. This ruling, which the brewery company Intrapreneur have a month to appeal against, may cost them more than £100 million, and it is believed to be the first award of damages in the UK for infringement of competition law. The pub landlord from Staines was awarded £250,000 in damages after he and 600 other landlords took pub chain Intrapreneur to court over their right to buy barrels of beer at cheaper prices. The Licensed Vittlers Association, which represents many of these 25,000 licensees in Britain, who are tied to four major firms, warned that pub chains may raise rents to compensate for charging less for beer.
Around 700 cyclists recently attended the monthly Critical Mass bicycle protest in London to pay their respects to Vicky McCreary, a cyclist who was crushed to death by a bus earlier last month while riding across a new cycle lane on one of London's busiest bridges, Blackfriars Bridge. Vicky came to London from Australia 5 years ago and worked as a physiotherapist and taught the subject. She married her husband Sandy in April 2003. She lived on the north edge of the city and travelled by bike. She was killed at 5:35 p.m. Monday the 10th of May 2004. Another cyclist was killed on the same spot in February 2003, yet the transport authorities still refused to listen to local cycling groups and even the Metropolitan Police, who complained about the unsuitability and danger of the Blackfriars Bridge cycle lane. The tiny cycle lane was in the middle of the road, flanked by vehicle lanes. Cyclist campaign groups say the transport authorities' attempts to cater for the surge in cycling following congestion charging have been total gestures, displaying incompetence and their ideological commitment to keeping more motor vehicles moving. The story has been taken up by the corporate media, which has had difficulty getting the facts straight. Most road deaths are ignored by the media, but the tragic event that took place that day has received significant coverage and become an issue in the forthcoming London elections. While the shift to cycling away from private cars following the introduction of congestion charging has led to much better conditions, including a reduction in overall risks, many cyclists still cross the Thames in and out of the city with trepidation. The four Thames bridges that cross into the city are notorious black spots for cyclists. For more information, see www.citycyclists.org.uk. And a mother, Pauline Campbell, who lost her 18-year-old daughter while she was imprisoned at Stile Prison in 2003, has vowed to protest against every death of a woman prisoner in jail in the UK. She was arrested recently for the third time as she tried to prevent prison vans from entering Holloway Prison, where Heather Waite recently died. Pauline believes that prisons are unsafe places which have constantly failed to uphold the duty of care that the prison service has to all prisoners. Indeed, Holloway Prison has been singled out for official criticism, and as has the increasing number of women being sent to jail for relatively minor offences. Okay, now we're going to play a track by the Monkees called She.
She told me that she loved me, and like a fool I believed her from the start. She said she'd never hurt me, but then she turned around and broke my heart. Why am I standing here, missing her and wishing she were here? Hey. She only did me wrong. Hey. I'm better off alone. She devoured all my sweet love, took all I had and then she fed me dirt. It's such a joke to see the way it hurts. Why am I standing here, missing her and wishing she were here? Hey. She only did me wrong. Hey. I'm better off alone. And now I know just why she
And now on a darker note than the monkeys, five people were killed yesterday in the Lebanon as the Lebanese army suppressed a public demonstration. Protesters were demanding cheaper gasoline prices and asking that attention be paid to below poverty line living conditions, and live ammunition was used on them. As well as the five deaths, a dozen people were injured. The area in the southern suburb of Beirut has been declared a military zone. If you want to find out more about this, go to the Lebanese branch of Indie Media at www.beirut.indiemedia.org.
And now we just want to advertise a fundraising event for the Palestinian Solidarity Campaign. Break Beat the Wall is on at Friday the 4th of June 2004 from 8pm to 3am. It's the club night upstairs at Sahara Nights on 257 to 259 Pentonville Road. Entrance fee, it's fiver all night with a fully licensed bar. Playing is Conscious, GM Baby, The Unpeople, Double Negative, Underground Alliance, and Mr. Chris giving you breakbeats, D&B, hip-hop and more. It's a benefit fundraiser for the Palestinian Solidarity Campaign. It's The Wall Must Fall. For more information on this, please check out www.palestinecampaign.org and www.stopthewall.org and info@palestiniancampaign.org. There's also a vigil at the Israeli Embassy, High Street, Kensington, from 5pm to 7:30pm prior to that event. And volunteers needed. The Palestinian Solidarity Campaign is looking to get together a new team of dedicated volunteers to help organise London activities over the next few months. Activities include organising meetings, protests and stalls, as well as the general coordination of events across central London around the 2004 The War Must Call campaign. So they say, if interested, please contact them at info@palestiniancampaign.org. And also there's an exhibition of photographs from Genoa 2001. The protest against the G8 summit is currently on show at the London Action Resource Centre, 62 Fieldgate Street, Whitechapel, London. The exhibition includes colour pictures from the huge anti-war marches, Faslane, Dicey, Fairford, the Countryside Alliance, tractors and trolleys against GM, the Trade Justice Carnival and other events. The photographer, Matt Archibald, is 33 years old and is concerned with issues related to social and environmental concerns. This exhibition runs until the 21st of June. And the 6th Annual Cannabis Festival is on Saturday, the 5th of June. A carnival march starts from Kennington Park opposite Oval Tube Station at midday and goes to... where else would it go but to Brockwell Park in Brixton, where the all-day festival will take place, complete with stages, bands, film shows, sound systems and stalls. You can also check out the various alternative media groups and campaigns who will be present. And on Wednesday the 9th of June, there's a discussion, End the Occupation, Why US and UK Troops Should Leave Iraq Now, and that's 7pm in the Mahatma Gandhi Room in the Indian YMCA, 41 Fitzroy Square, London WC1. Speakers include Tariq Ali, Jeremy Hardy, Haifa Sangana and Eva Jazovitz. And also on the 9th of June is Reverend Billy Lee, the revivalist preacher who leads the Church of Stop Shopping. He'll be at Conway Hall, 25 Red Lion Square, London, WC1 from 7pm. There's also a bar, DJ, organic food and stalls. So that's about it for this week. We're going to go out on a Louis Armstrong and then our usual outro. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All the time in the world.
I know that people here in Britain are anxious, even a little frightened. I understand that. But I think of the Union of America, founded on the anguish of the innocent, the dispossessed, those living in want and squalor. And this country is proud to bring those same values of democracy and freedom to people around the world. People should have confidence. Rock solid in our alliance with the USA, we will always finance terror. Here in this country and in other nations around the world. recognize why people protest against globalization, the demonstrators are right to say there's injustice, poverty, and bluntly, the governing idea of modern social democracy is evil. But we won't give up. Our values are the right ones for this age.
Please welcome Tony Blair. Please welcome the starving, the wretched. Please welcome Tony Blair. Please welcome
further death and horror on an unimaginable scale.
Please welcome Tony Blair. We're proud to have such a leader. Tony Blair.
Power, wealth, and opportunity must be in the hands of a few.
Tony Blair. Tony Blair.
We will do all we humanly can to protect the system from justice.
Tony Blair. I know and you know, in times like these, we have the right man in the right place, offering Britain the leadership we need at home and abroad. We're proud to have such a leader. Please welcome Tony Blair.
And so, in my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, I asked Americans to give 4,000 hours over the next, for the rest of your life, of service to America. That's what I asked. I said, 4,000 hours.
Do you take personal responsibility for that inaccuracy?
I take personal responsibility for everything I say, of course. I repeat, I'm calm when the seas are stormy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Things go badly.
Many people would feel they have been in Iraq. Difficulty.
Do you ever doubt?
I don't think they're going badly.
Obviously, I think they're going badly for the soldier who lost their life.
Well, I take personal responsibility for everything I say, of course.
What if that's wrong, you admit?
That looks like a push.
Take that May 1st when you stood on the USS Lincoln.
Under a huge banner that said mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished?
217 killed in action since that date. Will you acknowledge now that you were premature in making those remarks?
No.
Well, if Texas is wrong, he admits it.
We got a man who recklessly cut taxes.
Keep going.
We got a man who recklessly took us into war with Iraq.
Just because possibly armed, he is caution.
Just who are you? What do you want?
First, oil wells. Do not destroy oil wells.
We are saving them for when we meet in the future.
A body of intelligence.
But he wants more.
More money.
And large numbers of troops.
A new army. And, power to promote freedom. And that's precisely what this administration is doing. Nobody can threaten this country.
Not till I get even.
Oh, they may be able to bomb a building.
You think you can scare me? You're crazy.
I hope we're not headed to war.
My fellow citizens.
I'm the person who gets to decide, not you.
War fever was sweeping America.
At this hour, committed to peace,
on my orders,
willing to fight terror.
Coalition forces have begun striking selected targets.
Well, let's clear this place right now.
Because we are not peaceful men.
If you don't like them, kill them.
The sad thing is that we're really the only country in the world who says that.
Basically, they're starting in Iraq, but then the others will follow.
I didn't understand at first, but I do now.
And my job is not to promote a religion or a fake religion.
Are you sure you're on the right side?
My job is to call people to serve our country.
Couldn't see what he was after till it was too late.
Right-wing people. The Islamic movement is starting to gather lots of different parts of society.
CBS News. Fighting the truth. CBS News. Fighting the facts. With ear. CBS News. Fighting the truth. CBS News. Fighting the facts. The truth about CBS News. Tomorrow. Experience. Anthrax.
I think they ought to do to make this interesting and they could sponsor it like 278-07.
There's no doubt.
07. President Bush is a terrorist.
And by the way,
you know, it's our station. We decided that it was not in the interest of our audience and of the country to have dissension and freedom of speech.
'Cause embracing a new ethic and a new creed.